North Shore Today,
the area's only daily news podcast
on msonewsports.com.
Along with Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore, and this is North Shore Today for Friday, April 17, 2020.
Governor Charlie Baker believes that the state's aggressive response to the COVID-19 outbreak is working, but he urged residents not to get too complacent. One of the things moving forward the state is doing is contact tracing.
Through a team of leading medical experts working with the Department of Public Health, this program has already hired 176 employees to do contact tracing through phone calls, and hundreds of additional people are being trained and onboarded in the coming weeks. If you happen to receive a phone call from the Contact Tracing Collaborative, we urge residents to take this call and provide the relevant information. A couple of minutes of your time and cooperation is key in many cases to stopping the spread of coronavirus and saving more lives. It's also key to helping our state build a strategy for how we can get back to something like a new normal. And it's also part of an important effort to protect your loved ones and neighbors. We look forward to growing this program exponentially in the days and weeks ahead.
Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker. Baker also noted the extra funds headed to hospitals because of the adjustments hospitals had to make in anticipation of a COVID-19 surge.
One of the reasons why the money issue has become so important is because we worked with them to do a whole bunch of things to basically empty out significant parts of their operation, which is why today, as we enter the surge, hospital occupancy rates are on the statewide basis, on average, in the 50s, okay? I mean, that's a huge change in 30 days with respect to how many beds had people in them, how many beds were staffed, how many beds had people actually serving and taking care of people as recently as 30 days ago. But that was part of the exercise. You know, the elimination of elective surgeries and a whole bunch of other measures that we took were designed to shrink the amount of activity that was going on in hospitals so that they could make the changes they needed to make to deal with the surge associated with COVID-19 patients. And I think much of the reason why we put significant resources into the healthcare community and why we've been so aggressive about working with them to understand exactly what was going on every day and get to the point where we got daily reporting on ICUs and hospital beds generally is to make sure that we and they all understand where we have beds, where we don't, where we need them, why we need to build up capacity in certain places, all based on this idea that we're going to plan for the worst, okay?
Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker.
Karen Carroll is the Gloucester Public Health Director, and she emphasizes the difference between face masks and face coverings.
Sure. Yeah, as you probably know, last Friday, the Gloucester Board of Health had a meeting, and we passed some Board of Health orders regarding COVID-19. And then the mayor's office had some as well. So to go over the highlights of those, again, they're really to restrict activity and exposure is the whole name of the game here at this point in the outbreak when we really are at the peak time in which we expect over the last week and these next immediate weeks coming up will be a peak time for us. So we're being extra careful. We're requiring that people, when they go out in public into essential businesses, they should wear a face covering. That's different than a mask, so we've had a lot of questions about this. A mask is typically what our healthcare providers and first responders use, and they will do that. You know, they're fitted to them so that they're really blocking out any type of exposure. A face covering is a scarf or some cloth, a thick barrier that will prevent some exposure. It will prevent things like water droplets that if someone sneezes near you or if you sneeze or cough, it will slow down the transmission of that kind of those types of molecules of the virus. It won't necessarily block airborne particles. I'm sure, you know, you've seen that. That's why these N95 masks are like the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
So about a week ago, the CDC recommended and DPH, and then our board took it up as well, that anyone going out into public, into one of the essential businesses, should be wearing a face covering that will at least slow down the transmission. So we have on our website lots of different ways that you can make one. One's as simple as an old T-shirt and some elastic bands. So you don't need to go out and buy. You don't need to be a sewer. You can wrap a scarf around several times. The thicker, the better, is what we tell people. Something that you can see through, like a bandana, isn't so great. So the thicker you can put over your face, better. And again, it's to protect both you going into areas where there are other people around, but it's also to protect the workers in our essential businesses.
Gloucester Public Health Director Karen Carroll.
The city of Peabody has become the latest North Shore community requiring persons to enter places of essential business and employees of those businesses to wear protective face coverings. Anne Marie Tobin of the Daily Item of Lynn writes that the Board of Health in Peabody issued an emergency order that went into effect on Wednesday. In Lynn, Gayla Cawley writes in the item today, too, that three more deaths from COVID-19 in a 24-hour period from Wednesday to Thursday were reported by the city of Lynn. An additional 53 cases were confirmed. They're now up to 820 total cases in Lynn for COVID-19. And State Senator Brendan Crichton of Lynn and fellow legislators are pushing for a renter's safeguard bill that prohibits non-essential evictions and late fees. According, they want to push that bill to Governor Charlie Baker's desk soon.
Taylor Ann Bradford's writing in today's Gloucester Times. Builders requesting special permits for projects in Gloucester will have to wait to lay their foundations a bit longer. Gloucester City Council President Steve LeBlanc, in conversation with the City Council, has determined that public hearings and site visits should be put on hold until after the state of emergency due to the COVID-19 pandemic. That is in accordance with an emergency order signed by Governor Baker on April 3 that grants relief from the requirements of special permit and variance applications during the pandemic. LeBlanc is quoted as saying, with COVID-19, it makes it physically and technologically impossible for some people to attend these meetings. The final decision to pause the permitting process came down to LeBlanc, as the bill states that the chair of any permit-granting authority may grant such further extension irrespective of whether a quorum is present to vote on the matter. However, the virtual room was not void of opinions on the matter. City councilors' main concern with conducting business as usual was the overall health and well-being of administrators and community members. Much more in the story in today's Gloucester Times.
Danvers and Middleton are now among the highest rates of confirmed COVID-19 cases in the state, but officials in those communities caution that the numbers are skewed by high infection rates in group facilities, including nursing homes and the Middleton Jail. Paul Layton writes that Danvers has 190 confirmed cases of the coronavirus, and Middleton had 64, according to data released for the first time by the state on Wednesday. Larger cities reported many more total cases, but what stood out for those two towns were the number of cases per 1,000 people. Much more on the Paul Layton story in today's Salem News. In Salem School News, Dustin Luca reports that Samantha Meyer, the interim principal at Salem High School, has been hired to lead the school on a permanent basis. And at the Bates Elementary School, Gavin Softick, their assistant principal, is now the principal. He'll be taking over on a permanent basis from J.J. Munoz, who has left the district to undertake a doctoral educational program.
Dave Rogers is reporting in today's Newburyport Daily News. In Newburyport, a magnanimous gesture by a local family to support first responders and restaurants to the tune of $4,000 worth of gift cards was met with another generous gesture when those cards were donated to Anna Jakes Hospital staff. Stephen Blanchett of the Blanchett Financial Group on Pleasant Street in Newburyport said it was Easter when he and his family decided they wanted to help first responders and local restaurants. Blanchett's quoted as saying, "As a family, we said, how can we do something?" The Blanchetts bought scores of gift cards for local firefighters and police officers from local takeout places. They also bought Duncan and Market Basket cards for hospital workers. Again, Blanchett's quoted as saying, "I wish we could have done every restaurant. We knew there were restaurants that were struggling." The Blanchetts then donated $2,000 worth of cards each to firefighters and police officers. Deputy Fire Chief Stephen Bradbury said as soon as he got the cards, He called City Marshal Mark Murray. The two met for coffee and decided it made sense to donate the cards to the Anna Jakes Hospital Aid Association. Bradbury is quoted as saying, "We immediately decided to re-gift them. It was the right thing to do." On Wednesday, firefighter George Fraley, who also works as a nurse at Anna Jakes, met Newburyport Police Sergeant William Steves at the Highland Avenue Hospital and gave the cards to Amanda Ross of the Anna Jakes Hospital Aid Association. More on the story in today's Newburyport Daily News.
That is it for us today, and that is it for us this week on North Shore Today. Do check out our post on MSO News Sports with the other additional news stories, the weather notes, snow in the forecast, and also our videos of the day. Have a great weekend, everybody, and you can always contact us at our email, msonewsports@gmail.com. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, here on North Shore Today.